This is Marketing Jam, a show featuring the brightest minds in marketing.
Let's talk about SEO quickly. This whole search engine optimization thing. People are frustrated by it, confused by it, and there are so many SEO tools out there. Free ones, subscription ones. Which one's the best? Do you ever feel like it's been this dark art, this mystic craft hidden for only certain people to understand? Well, here at Jelly, it all became clear when we started using Ahrefs. The reports we got, the clarity on site ranking, and so much more. Today, for all our clients, we provide Ahrefs reporting and use the tool to audit sites. It's the premier SEO tool that gives you the confidence you're providing top-notch reports and data to your clients. Let the only confusing thing be how the tool's name is said. Check them out at ahrefs.com. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Marketing Jam. This one is very exciting because those of you that agree or disagree with what project management tool to use and to run for your agency, or maybe you're on the market for the best project management tool, I have invited Joel from Monday.com, mostly because when I meet with owners in Vancouver and we figure out kind of, you know, we did an Excel sheet, there's about 200 of us that are on the Slack channel and we meet for lunch on occasion when we could. We ask them what project management tool system they use. The majority use Monday.com. I have been invited in on projects with other agencies and they use Monday.com. So I am intrigued and blown away by some of the work that they do, some of the advertising that they do. And so I reached out to Joel and he was so kind enough to come on the show.
Wow, amazing. Thank you for having me. It's actually really cool to hear that so many people use Monday within your little tight-knit community.
Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful tool. And I think, yeah, you've got the big ones on the market, right? Like the options of it's typically either like Basecamp, Asana, or Monday. And I find in the creative field and in the marketing field, Monday holds the majority at the moment.
It's amazing. And I'd probably guess that most people came from using whiteboards and Excel and sticky notes and then went into one of these tools. Yeah. which is like really interesting to see where our competition, like where our market share came from over the last few years as we kind of went from zero to what we are now. It was interesting to see that people, we weren't getting huge amounts of market share from our competition, but rather from just people who didn't know that this tool or a tool like this exists.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
And what is it that you can, what you love about each one? Like I find, and this is just maybe personality or the computer they use, like folks that love PC computers love Asana, right? They're on a PC.
Really?
And they're more Asana based, but those that are maybe on a Mac, I find lean more towards like Basecamp, which is the tool we use, or Monday. And if you're more visual, Monday and Basecamp kind of provide that for you. And it's hard though, right? Because even thinking of leaving a tool, going from one to the other, it's a big decision because basically it's the tool that runs your shop.
Yeah. Sneaky little insight that I probably shouldn't be allowed to say, but there is a high correlation between Mac users and Monday users.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like a huge overwhelming majority of the people who sign up for our tool actually use Mac.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And Joel, you're in Israel, which is also the home of, if people didn't know, you mentioned Fiverr, Wix, and some other great companies that are just around.
Yeah, Waze came out of here, Lemonade, the insurance company, some very, very exciting companies coming out of here. And it's kind of big startup central. So very international environment here as well, which is quite nice.
Very cool. So Joel, I want to dig into what I find so unique about your role within Monday and what they have you doing. You know, it's not the typical SaaS marketer. Tell me about the latest kind of adventure you're on. And, you know, maybe why you're doing it and what the support of Monday has been for you to try something unique.
Interesting. Okay. I'll try to do it succinctly. And short. Your cat mug, I don't know if people are just listening to this without any visuals. I'm going to describe what I'm looking at. And it's just a cat mug, the big cat face that smiles at me every time you drink from it. So it's very distracting.
This is your attempt at getting audio-only listeners to come and watch the video. So thank you. Thank you, Joel.
Yeah. Oh, where are the videos hosted in comparison to the audio?
Yeah. So if you want to watch it on video, you can find us on YouTube or Facebook, Instagram, etc. But otherwise, audio, wherever you find your audio listening device leaning towards.
So in Monday, how we do marketing or how we've done marketing over the last 6 years is we've had this incredibly aggressive growth through mainly acquisition marketing. And acquisition marketing in comparison to brand marketing is very, very different. So brand marketing, you're trying to heighten the positive affiliation with your brand, or maybe create brand awareness amongst an audience that doesn't know you, or make people like you more, for example. Increase that connection between the warm, fuzzy feeling and your product. So acquisition marketing is very, very different. Acquisition marketing is you need to be able to understand, okay, if I spend $10,000 in a marketing campaign today with a specific creative ad on a specific platform for a specific target audience, for example, males between the ages of 30 to 50 in a city that use a MacBook computer and work in a creative agency, I need to know that if I spend $10,000 today, I'm going to, how long is it that can take me to get that money back? Over what period of time, and then from that audience or that cohort, how much money they're going to keep paying me. And once I understand that, then I can be extremely aggressive and scale that at a huge level, because it's not just chucking money out into the air. It's an investment, as if I'm putting in a dollar today, in six months I get that money back, and then I'm making a dollar on that every 6 months from then. So that's how companies like SaaS companies like ours and other companies around the world are growing and scaling so aggressively. Now, we went into a specific problem where then you have ad saturation. For example, on YouTube, we had a period a while ago where we made a lot of, some of them were even quite nice ads, some of them were even good, but they were performing very, very well on an acquisition level for us. And then you have a massive ad saturation. And that's why you see these same ads. Hey, sign up for monday.com or
everywhere.
If you use a tool, if you manage a team, you need to be using monday.com. And the reason you're seeing that everywhere is because it's financially, it's making sense for us. And then it takes us a long time to understand the bad brand impact that could be having because of the oversaturation. Because we're not aware of the, you know, we're aware of the 98% of people who are seeing the ad once or twice, getting some value and coming and signing up. We're not aware of the 1% or 2% who happen to be seeing the ad 100 million times, because we're not that in control of what Google or Facebook does with their black box algorithms. Okay, so once we understood all of that, we understood that we need to do also brand marketing, because, for example, acquisition marketing, sorry, I'm going to keep going on acquisition for a bit, because I think it really lays the ground to understand. So acquisition marketing, if you take, let's take YouTube and Facebook for an example. So on Facebook, if I want to get a message across, I need to tell you what this tool is, the value that you're going to get from it, like the solution to your pain that I'm going to solve for you. And I need to do get you to click within on Facebook within like a thumb stopping second, less than a second. I need with one image and no sound, one graphic. And if on Facebook, I don't know, people might not be aware, but you can only have 20% text on that image for specific ads. So that's a very, very difficult game. And that means you're only getting a very, very short, small message in there. And if you're aggressively marketing, so then people are seeing a lot of these ads and they can think your tool is only a project management tool, or your tool is only for, I don't know, it's very minimizing of what people understand, or the message you can give over very, very short. If you take something like YouTube, which is already a whole world of difference, because here in YouTube, I have until the skip button, which is 5 seconds, plus I have audio. So I can tell a whole lot more of a story. So even if you skip, even if you skip the ad, I can still put a whole world of stories into your head, because I've got 5 seconds that can tell you who is it for, like what's the target audience. I can say, if you manage a team, that's already the target audience. And then if I say what I want you to do, or the name of the company as well, you'll notice a lot of YouTube acquisition ads will have the name of the company in the first 5 seconds and a call to action, what they want you to do. They'll say, if you're a manager, you need to use monday.com, go to monday.com and sign up to get started on your free account, or whatever that happens to be for the first five seconds. So Wix does that very, very well. We actually kind of stole that model from Wix.
Interesting.
In a very, very, I don't know if stealing is the word, but.
You were inspired by them. You were inspired.
Very much. I think they were the first ones that we saw that had this formula that was super, super clear of say the product name, show the URL in a graphic on the screen so people can understand where to go to and take that call to action. Okay, so after a few years, I was working in marketing here on Monday for a few years and making ads as a creative. And I really, really enjoyed that. And it's very, very fascinating because you have this massive overlap between the numbers, and it's becomes very data driven. And it's not just you're putting an ad out there and seeing if people like it or not, but you're putting an ad out there and then seeing if it actually sells to people. Yeah. Is this creating business impact? And if it's not, then you can tweak and you do it in-house and iterate really, really quickly. Yeah. And that's a very, very fun, I'm not going to call it a game, but it's a fantastic challenge between being a creator and having business impact. And then you have a great relationship between the numbers people, yeah, the media buyers or the mm-hmm. analysts and the people who are doing the creative, and you influence each other's worlds a lot. That's very fun. After doing all of that, I wanted to go more into helping us tell larger stories and telling larger stories more than what we can say in 5 seconds or more than what you can say in a thumb stopping moment. And so we started doing that actually in subway campaigns in New York. Mm-hmm. Was our first initial attempt at that. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to work really, really well for us. And we really enjoyed it, and other people enjoyed it. And it was the first time we started getting a lot of positive online social impact or chatter, basically. Yeah. People talking on Twitter and taking photos and uploading stories to Instagram.
And New York is a great hub of creatives and, you know, marketing agencies and ad agencies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we just found it was a fantastic place. We had this captured audience, this captive audience. Like, if you imagine people on the subway, they get on the subway for 15, 20 minutes and they want to look anywhere besides the person's eyes opposite them. So if you put something funny above them, and it kind of also includes your product, then you have it's a major win. And that kind of got me addicted to wanting to do things that were kind of giving rather than taking from an audience, rather than just getting people to sign up all the time. Go into a position where you're giving people some either value or entertainment, and that leads me to this new YouTube channel which I've created. That took a long time to get there, but I've created this new YouTube channel within Monday, and it's called Will It Automate?
Yes.
And so essentially I try to automate things that don't need automating.
It's amazing.
So for example, the first few things I've come up with was, the first example was I wanted to try automate motivating employees or motivating people on your team when everyone's working from home during COVID. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 29% of people are less motivated. I know that everyone's just sitting at home, kind of half working. I feel like some people, it's a joke, but I know someone who is, I'm not sure if they're joking about it or not, but they said that they kind of got accepted at a job at Google before Corona, and then got accepted at a job at Facebook after, and kind of just kept working both jobs for a while.
Okay.
So basically, I wanted, in order to help motivate people from afar, in order to automate that, what I did is essentially I built a cookie machine which holds Oreos and sits above my team member's desk. Molly, she's very funny. We work great together. She's in all the videos. So I went to her house and drilled this machine into her wall on top of her desk and connected it to Monday's automations. And essentially, every time she clicks done on a project and I click approve, it drops a cookie onto her desk.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny. We try really hard to be funny. Funny is money. But yes, that's one example. Another example of something that I tried to automate is human intimacy. So for example, I live overseas. I'm from Australia and my family lives in Australia. Yeah. And I know a lot of my friends also that are expats. We have like a really hard time keeping in touch with family and et cetera, et cetera, however that works. So I built like an auto texting machine that works from within Monday. So it kind of connects from Monday to Twilio and also to Unsplash. So, and also to Twitter. So essentially, like, you have all these generic messages. If you can imagine, each row or each item is a generic message. And then you pick family members, it's automatically sends text through Twilio. And then if you want, you can just click like Unsplash and then type in a search term, and it will just pick like a random dog out from Unsplash or whatever you type in. So
this is amazing. And are you using Zapier to do a lot of this?
Yeah, so we use Zapier and Integra, the two tools that are automatically built in with Monday, and they're so good because you can literally just build amazing things in just a few clicks without having to write any code. If this then that, when something happens, then send a text or I don't know, send an email, or when an order is placed on my Shopify website, send me a notification and tell my team, etc. It makes you feel like Iron Man is what it is.
It's totally Jarvis. Jarvis is in your world now, in your life.
So that's really cool. Yeah. So my vision for this is to be able to tell larger stories about Monday, because at the end of the day, I can be quite cynical about everything.
Yeah.
You know, we're not a project manager, but we're a work operating system.
Yes.
We help businesses around the world, and it can be quite dry.
Yes.
And I wanted to find a way of selling this or really explaining more of the depth of what people do with Monday. So not just putting in tasks and not just putting in projects, but connecting it with other tools and involving people around the world in larger projects that you're doing. Incredible. So that's what this channel is supposed to just be: organic, funny content that that people enjoy watching, and they see product placement, essentially. So that's the behind the scenes of how it all works.
And in it, you mentioned like Monday.com at the end of the videos or throughout it, or it's sponsored by Monday. Is that how you got the brand support of it?
I'm still trying to figure this out. Yeah, how I got the support within Monday is the first video I made, which was the cookie video, was the prototype. And that essentially uses Monday to activate the cookie machine.
Yes.
And so it's just there as if, in the same way that the drill I use to drill it into the wall is an excellent tool to drill the cookie machine into the wall, Monday's an excellent tool to know when someone's completed a project and operate a physical machine in the world.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
I want to talk about explaining leads to clients. CallRail gives you the call tracking you need to measure the success of your marketing efforts in real time. Discover how many calls you received from your Google ads, organic searches, social media efforts, and so much more. And hey, that's not the only reason we use CallRail. CallRail seamlessly integrates all of our call and conversion data with over 700 marketing tools and platforms, including Google Analytics and Salesforce, for a deeper insight into what's happening. Start telling the complete story to your clients. Try a free trial today with CallRail.com.
I find the world of automation fascinating, especially now with, you know, the power of, you know, you say Zapier, I say Zapier. Maybe it's my French Canadian-ness.
No. I would say it's you are saying it correctly, I hope.
I'll be potato, potato. But it's incredible the power that can happen. And kind of like these smart homes and smart machines and smart devices, it's such a fascinating thing of what could you automate? Could you automate reading bedtime stories to your children? Could you automate remembering your anniversaries and special dates throughout the year, and it sends something, right? Like that's the stuff, like, you know, the good partner award. If you could create a partner tool, I would sign up for the partner tool. If you could automate me remembering all the specific dates and times, and I could plug in, you know, like 10 important dates into a calendar, and on those 10 dates, it automatically does something for my partner, I would love that.
That sounds great. It sounds like a really healthy relationship that you'll build over the next 50 years of your life if you use a tool like that.
Because I actually recently, so my partner's friend actually texted me on one of the days. I'm like, hey, don't forget. I think, just as a nice soft suggestion, Rose would like this today. And I was like, oh yeah. So it's almost like you could call it my partner's friend who sends those nice friendly texts.
Okay. All right. So what you're going into the realm of something serious that can bring actual value. And that's great.
Thank you.
I'm trying to stick in the world of what things can I do that are terrible ideas to automate. Like terrible, terrible things that should not be automated, like human intimacy. So you shouldn't be building an auto texter in order to stay in touch with your mum. It's a terrible idea. But you kind of want to do it, don't you? You kind of want to use it because there's a bit of evil inside all of us. I think the world functions, the whole economy functions off the fact that we are all lazy, greedy, lonely people inside. Yes. And we all want to buy this dream. And if you can create, anyway.
So I got one for you. Here's a challenge. I want you, if you could automate being a guest on a podcast. So you, maybe I send the questions ahead of time, and then you got some tool that just answers questions at random or answers random things that that maybe sound okay. Like you get some robot voice or some
the best podcast guest you could ever have. Right. That's what you want to.
Would be hilarious to see what a robot would be like to be as a guest.
No joke. Who you should be interviewing then is a tool called GPT-3. Okay. It's by a company called OpenAI. Check it out. It's the craziest AI I've ever seen and played with in my life. It's unbelievable. And this AI is very, very different from any AI that's kind of hit the market until now. They've spent quite a few years.
Would this AI come on my show? Could I book this AI, you think?
You probably could. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I'm not joking. I've actually seen an interview. I've seen people ask him questions, questions. And it's very, very interesting. I've seen some interviews. They've put a bunch of years and millions, I think, of $7.4 million or something ridiculous into training this AI. And it's so fascinating. I got access to the private beta to actually play around with their tool, just because I kind of lied to them. I said that I was going to build real tools for it with monday.com, and then I'm just going to use it for funny jokes and videos.
Yeah.
But I hope they don't listen to this podcast. But definitely check it out. It's amazing. What's interesting about this AI is instead of teaching this AI math, for example, by feeding it logic of how we know math, they just gave it Wikipedia and let it read all of Wikipedia, and it taught itself math. So it's very, it knows to tell stories, and it is fantastic at lying, and I don't think it has a grasp on what reality is and what is false or not false, but it's fantastic, intuitive at predicting what responses should be to a question, for example. And so yeah, go for it, interview it. You could build the best podcast guest ever. I think that's a great idea.
Amazing. It's like Neo from the Matrix. They downloaded all these programs into its brain, and now it can do interview skills.
That's how they trained him.
That is amazing. So what I want you to ask, so there's other creatives on the channel, there's other brands listening to the show. What do you think is kind of the business case now that you have this YouTube channel, and how do you think you'll continue to get to do it and prove that there's an ROI? What is the argument there?
Wow. So you're coming into like a hot topic. Everything we've ever done and everything we do in the company is so proven with data and backed up by data and metrics, and you need to show the return on investment, otherwise it doesn't make sense and the company's not going to put a single dollar or hour of effort into this. So the answer is, and it's quite frank, I don't have an answer to this quite yet. I don't have an answer to how I'm going to prove the value of this. Basically, how I proved the value of it until now was I made a few videos as prototypes, and people really liked them, and our customers really liked them and started sharing them. And then a whole bunch of people commented on the video saying, wow, I never knew you could do this with Monday. Or I hated you guys from your ads, but now all of a sudden I've changed my mind. I'm actually going to check you out.
Yeah,
so this is like, let's call it the first stage of, just a litmus test. That's a signal, we call it. And once you find a signal, okay, so now let's go build some metrics around what is this channel about. Is this channel something that we don't expect to get direct acquisition back from, but we do expect to increase brand affiliation, or we do expect to tell larger stories? So let's start with that and measure that. And the first metric is, do people like the videos? Do people watch them? Do people share them? Are people subscribing? And it's really early on, and we have 5,500 subscribers now. And the first video got 60,000 views, which is very exciting. And we just did a collaboration with another YouTuber.
Cool.
And actually, the cookie machine from the first video, it's quite ridiculous. We ended up manufacturing hundreds of them, 220 of these cookie machines that come in these flat packs like IKEA. And you kind of just snap it all together in 5 minutes. And then you have a cookie machine that can sit on your desk. And we just started selling them, which is hilarious. We built this whole website. If you go to willitautomate.com/cookie, you can see this e-commerce website. We built on Wix, and it's the most fun I've ever had. I've been in Monday for 6 years, and it's hilarious. Like, I think at the end of our lives, we all need to look back and on our deathbeds, we can look back and say, am I proud of what I did with my life? Mm. And I think the answer is, this cookie machine helps me answer that one gets me one step closer to being proud of what I can answer for that, even though it's the biggest joke I've ever done, which is I don't know how to take this for myself.
But I think same time, like, what you're doing, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, and love your thoughts on this, compare it in the world of out of home, right? So billboards, you know, hockey rink ads, like bus stop ads, subway ads, like out of home is very hard to measure, but it's brand awareness. Same thing. And this is what I'd like your thoughts, podcast advertising. Would you put
Absolutely.
That... And I talked to someone recently who said, we put our podcast advertising in out of home because it's more vague, it's unmeasurable, it's kind of throwing it out there into a show. Or some people say they'd argue, no, it's a media buy category because it's a digital buy because some of these podcasts have it where you can auto insert pre-roll and mid-roll, right? And you can buy them by the impressions.
It's a fantastic way. So we actually look at podcast and radio advertising as out of home as well. And we do have ways, many, many ways of measuring it, but that's because it's at a much larger scale. But yeah, I 100% agree that what I'm doing fits very, very much into the category of out of home. Yeah. You are, it's a long-term goal. And basically there are just some ways of out of home, for example, is you have these geo bump graphs.
Yeah.
So for example, I don't know if you're familiar, but, let's say I did a Subway commercial or a Subway campaign in New York,
yeah.
And it cost me $300,000,
yeah.
And it got exposure, a lot of exposure for a month because it's a whole takeover. So I assume I'll have quite a lot more visits, for example, to the website from New York. What can I expect people who are sitting on the subway? What can I expect them to do? Can I expect them to download the app, go in and start paying right now? Obviously not. Can I expect them to be intrigued enough to go and visit the website or take a photo of my ad and share it on Twitter or on Instagram? So then, yes, those are realistic expectations. So let's take those and start measuring that. How do you measure that? So then you can create an uplift. You want to see the uplift in basically in New York of visits to your website. So you can do that by taking other cities that behave similarly to New York in terms of their behavior. So we create this control environment. We'll talk like Chicago, Seattle, whatever it happens to be, these other cities that for the 3 months leading up to your campaign in New York behave very, very similarly to New York. Mm-hmm. And then once you run your campaign in New York, you can then predict what New York should have looked like without your campaign.
Yeah.
And then see whatever the delta is, the lift. From your control, you can see how many extra visits you actually got to the website.
And ideally, so you have analytics set up so you can monitor that. That's the perfect
world. Absolutely.
And then you have goals within analytics that show you did that traffic from New York spend more than 5 minutes? Did they actually do a trial, and how many trials were started?
100%, 100%. Of course, we track all of that. So I can tell you 100% that a Subway campaign does not make sense financially for us in terms of signups, but it definitely makes sense financially for us in terms of brand awareness and how people feel about your product and what they know about your product. Those were big wins for us.
I feel like what you're saying is it's not just about impressions, it's about making an impression.
Oh, very nice. That's a great catchphrase. You should be in marketing.
What's next? What's next? What are you excited about for what you're doing as a creative and kind of what's down the pipe that we can expect from this channel and from Monday?
So what I'm excited about for Monday is that despite the fact that we only launched 6.5 years ago, we went from zero to millions of users around the world in every single country, essentially. And it's very inspiring to see how we help all different types of organizations and companies work better together. And what's exciting about the next stage of Monday is we've just released an apps marketplace, which allows developers all around the world to build apps on top of Monday. So Monday is the infrastructure for whatever application they want to do. And that's really opening the world to a crazy place. I can't even start to begin to explain the practical ramifications or implications of that. But it's really, really cool. So for example, this cookie machine ran on an app that was built on Monday. So we just wrote some code that connected to Monday. And then now the buttons in Monday, when you change the status from something to done, it moves a physical object in the world.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
And that's really quite cool. And what I'm excited about this channel, I'm excited to see if I can actually make this work. Because essentially what it is just, you know, you have it's sponsored content.
Yeah.
From within a company. I don't think I've ever seen that happen. Like I know if you take Nike, I mean, they have it, but it's when they use workout or create a workout app for you, for example. And I'm trying to think of any other company that I know. And I just don't know. Like Red Bull will do it, has done it very, very well, built their business. GoPro and Red Bull built their businesses over this by creating content channels with their logo everywhere.
Yeah.
And this is very, very similar to that, just for an online business tool. So if I can make this work, it would be really, really fun and exciting. And I have a lot of crazy ideas. I just don't know if I can get them off the ground, and I'm excited to see if I can actually execute. So,
and what I think is what's unique about what you're doing, Joel, is it's you mentioned two B2C brands. You're doing something in a B2B realm, which is it's very rare to see someone kind of be creative with content in the B2B area.
Yeah. So we've actually marketed Monday as a B2C since day one, even though you're not going to pay us money unless you're a business.
Yeah.
And we, from day one, we've been not targeting top-down buyers, not targeting the board or C-level approval, but we've been targeting the end user, their specific pains, and offering a solution. So I think the reason we started marketing as a B2C was just because it's more effective.
Yeah.
For us, especially in these no-touch tools, like a SaaS product like Monday. SaaS is software as a service. So it's in a subscription model like Netflix is.
Yeah.
And I don't need someone to come and sign on a check through a six-month approval process of $100,000. What I do need and what our business model until recently was to get in the ground with small teams, 15 to 50 people, getting them to use us within a company. And you know, teams around the world now have autonomy of decision-making when it comes to, they have their own credit card, they want to use this tool, they swipe it for, you know, a few hundred dollars a month. It's not a big deal. And then that's how we started marketing with B2C. And I remember the first time it happened, I wasn't even in marketing yet, the company, but we kind of sent this large email out to all of the customer, our entire database, and we did an ABCD test. And we all, this was very, very early on, and four of us wrote a version and of an email, and the other three people wrote really, one of them was really technical, and the other one was really salesy, and then the one I wrote was just, it was just funny. It was just a funny email, and it used Prometheus, and it was about the theft of fire, and it just outperformed the other emails by like 300%, and that was the first time I saw that, okay. So jokes, they can actually get people to click like a lot more. This is no longer, jokes are no longer a joke. Jokes are serious.
Yeah.
It's a serious business. Let's do it.
That's awesome.
That was the first time I realized very, very clearly with data that, okay, this might be a profession that I can actually do.
It's incredible. And Joel, I want our listeners and viewers to know, where do you go for inspiration? Is it books, podcasts, kind of... walks by the river. Where do you go to get kind of creativity, infusion in your life?
So not alcohol and stuff like that.
You can go there. That works. That's like a walk by the river. Maybe you drink,
So I walk by the river. I have to say I read a lot. I read a lot of science fiction, and a lot of comedy, and that just gets me super, super excited that I want to create. When I read something from, Douglas Adams is one of my favorites, Terry Pratchett, Isaac Asimov, these are authors that are geeks like. And I just think that the way that they use words the way that they bring concepts into the world, that the way that they have this observation, this power of observation of the world, that they look at something that I've been looking at every single day my whole life and I've ever thought about it differently, and they just come up with this interesting perspective on it, it's just gets me very, very excited.
That's amazing. So Joel, we'll make sure we list those names in the show notes here if people are interested. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay, cool.
Very helpful.
Yeah, I'll give a bunch of authors I like if you're interested.
So Joel, where can people find you? Where can people discover Monday?
Oh, okay. So obviously if you go to monday.com, you can discover us as a tool and you can sign up and use it for your actual business applications. It really does help millions of people around the world, us and our competitors. I think that there's a lot of room for different types of tools. Where can people find me specifically? What I'm trying to do now on Monday is a YouTube channel called Will It Automate. So just type Will It Automate into YouTube. I'd love for you to come watch the videos, leave some comments, and let me know what you think. Subscribe, give me some ideas of things to automate, or terrible ideas that I should try build. I love making stuff in the physical world, so I'd be really happy for anyone listening to this to come give an opinion.
It's amazing. And I have to say, if you are interested in motivating your work from home employees, there is a cookie machine available that will connect to monday.com and feed your employees cookies when they complete tasks.
Yeah, that's actually true, which I am amazed that it is true.
That is incredible. And it's for sale. How much does it cost?
It costs $69, which is, you know, nice number. And I never thought, I was very skeptical of whether someone would buy or not. Yeah. And we only launched a few days ago and have hardly pushed it anywhere. And we've actually sold over 80 units, which is amazing.
Incredible.
I'm blown away by this.
And you ship all over the world, these units.
Yeah, shipping all over the world. Amazing. And only losing a small amount of money on each unit. So just, yeah, we're actually donating the money that we get from every unit, because that was the CEO's idea when we pitched it. So decided to donate the money to, yeah.
That's amazing. Joel, thank you for being on the show. This was inspiring, practical, helpful. And we hope to have you on the show again, and we could look at like 6 months or a year from now and say, did it work? You know, did the case work? Is the show still going? And I think what you brought today was this nice balance of like data and ideas mixed with creativity, which I think is that kind of like 1-2 punch to get incredible work done within businesses, which is what you've done, and even pitching to our clients to be able to bring them data mixed with creativity. So thank you for that, Joel. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was actually a lot of fun.
Oh, good. Well, look forward to an episode with the AI machine, and then we'll have you back again to tell us how the channel works. Be great.
All right. Joel. Thanks.
We'll see everyone next week on The Jam.
Thanks for listening to Marketing Jam. If you enjoyed the show, head over to our YouTube or Facebook and give us a thumbs up, and visit iTunes to leave a rating and review. Thanks again, and see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.